We're talking about Tony Pauline, at Tony Pauline on Twitter. All right, Tony, give us the scuttlebutt on the Steelers possibly doing business with the Broncos on draft night.
Yeah, I'm told they are having conversations, and I don't expect the trade to happen before the draft. But I think what's going to happen is if Quinnon Mitchell ends up with the 12th pick, Denver, if you read my article on Monday, they either want to trade up to get a quarterback. That's going to be very tough. And if they can't trade up, they want to trade back for a couple of reasons. They don't have a lot of picks. They don't have a second-round pick. And they really can't take Bo Nix with the 12th pick of the draft. So I think what's going to happen, or what I've heard is happening, is that the Steelers right now are having conversations with potentially trading up to the 12th pick if Quinnon Mitchell ends up there. And the Philadelphia Eagles are also having conversations about potentially moving up to number 12. And the Eagles, if they move up, they'll take either Quinnon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold, of the cornerback from Alabama.
Tony, how do you have Mitchell graded this year, and what's your projection for him as a pro?
He's my number one cornerback. He's the guy who was a terrific player at Toledo for 3 years. A lot of people weren't talking about him. And then what happened is, basically from the Senior Bowl on, his draft, the stock went through the roof. He was the best cornerback at the Senior Bowl. And it's funny, because I was talking to a source with the New York Giants the other day, and, you know, we were at the Senior Bowl. Going into the Senior Bowl, we were wondering whether Quinnon Mitchell would establish himself as a first-round pick. And then after 3 days of practices, we were talking about Quinnon Mitchell being the top cornerback selected in the draft. And that looks exactly like what's going to happen. He then went on and had a terrific testing workout at the Combine. He's checked all the boxes. If you talk to him, he's a level-headed, you know, confident, not cocky, but sure of himself type of cornerback. And I think the thing that he has over Terrion Arnold is he proved at the Senior Bowl he can play press coverage, which is what teams want. Terrion Arnold was a terrific cornerback at Alabama, but he was primarily a nickelback. He was primarily played over the slot receiver, played a lot of man-off coverage, which is why I give Quinnon Mitchell the edge over Terrion Arnold.
What do you think are the odds that Mitchell will be available at 12, therefore facilitating this trade, Tony?
I think it's good. If I was going to put a percentage on it, I think I'd put about 75% right now. I think the only way he's not available is if Arizona trades with Minnesota, which I think is going to happen, and Arizona owns the 11th pick of the draft, and then they get locked out of the pass catchers, out of the three top pass catchers, whether it be Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, or even the tight end Brock Bowers.
So it sounds like you think there's a really good chance of this trade happening then, Tony.
The trade
with the Steelers, with the Broncos, because Mitchell will probably be there.
I think that the Broncos are looking to trade down. I think the Steelers would look to trade up if Quinnon Mitchell's there. If he's not there, I think it's more Philadelphia, who probably wouldn't mind taking Terrion Arnold with that selection.
Tony, is there any other player other than Mitchell that you are hearing the Steelers might be interested in moving up to get?
Moving up, no. I mean, I had reported a couple of weeks ago that they would take Graham Barton, the center from Duke, with the with their first pick, the 20th selection, but I've not heard anybody else.
Tony, I mean, I'm getting sick to my stomach hearing this, because we did this with Devin Bush, moved up from 20 with the Broncos, and it was a complete disaster. And when we started talking about this, when we brought up your report, immediately somebody who has experience working for the Steelers texted me and said, that's going to cost them at least the 20th and 51st pick to go from 20 to 12, which also makes me want to barf.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to cost them the second-round pick, especially if there's competition with the Eagles. I mean, you know, it's supply and demand. So, you know, the more the Eagles want to move up to number 12, the more the Steelers are going to have to ante up.
And is it true that Tomlin was all over Mitchell at the Senior Bowl? He was like a kid in a candy store. That's what I heard, that he was loving what he saw from Mitchell. Did you observe any of that?
Oh, I observed a lot of people. I can't say that I saw Tomlin. I'm not going to sit here and lie. That I saw specifically Tomlin, but there were a ton of people who were on Mitchell with good reason. I mean, he was dynamic, if not fantastic, for all 3 days at Senior Bowl practice.
Tony, since we have you, I love picking your brain about a bunch of different guys that are being connected with the Steelers. I know you mentioned Barton. I wouldn't be unhappy about that. But last year, I really wanted them to get Broderick Jones. I got my wish. They traded up and got him. This year, I have zeroed in from day one of our talking about the draft, and I want them to take roll the dice on a guy who's barely played relative to his peers and draft Amarius Mims. What is your take on Mims heading into this draft?
I think Mims is a terrific player. You know, people say, well, he hasn't played much football, and my response to that is that shows how much upside he has, because in the 8 games that he started for Georgia, he's looked fantastic. I mean, he is a massive offensive tackle who moves relatively well. Massive in the sense that he's tall. He's not really fat or anything, but he moves incredibly well. He's a dominant run blocker who's also very effective in pass protection. You know, again, you can look at it and say, well, he's only played 8 games. I look at it and say, he's been terrific in the 8 games he played. Just imagine once you get him to play 12, 15, 16, 17 games a year, what type of player he's going to be.
You mentioned the Steelers and Barton before this potential trade-up. What are you hearing on Barton getting to 20? What are the odds he's there at 20 when the Steelers are on the clock, Tony?
I think it's going to be probably about 75%. I don't think anybody before the Steelers would take him. I really don't think he's worth, you know, going before the 20th pick. But I do believe, you know, unless there's a surprise, unless somebody wants to move ahead of the Steelers because they're afraid that the Steelers are going to take Barton, I think he'll be there.
Tony, are you hearing anything about the Steelers being interested in moving back a couple of spots, particularly based on how the board might fall in front of them?
I've not heard that. I would not cross that off. I mean, obviously, if they're given a good offer, I mean, it would make sense. But I have not heard that. I've heard more about teams wanting to, besides the Eagles and the Steelers, there are more teams want to trade down, which is usually the case every draft.
All right, so I'm going to start naming some guys, and you tell me where you're hearing they might go and the teams that are linked to them in the draft. Tony Pauline here with us on 93.7 The Fan. Give me one on Fuaga, the offensive lineman from Oregon State, Tony.
If the Jets can't get Brock Bowers with the 10th pick, and there's a chance that the Indianapolis Colts trade up, I think the Jets. I think the Jets will take Fuaga if Bowers is not there at pick number 10.
How about Fautanu, the offensive lineman from Washington?
A lot's been written, a lot's been said about his knees, so it depends on what teams think. I have him right now going to Green Bay, but he could end up at New Orleans. He could end up at Vegas. Some people think Seattle. It all depends on the medicals.
How legit is the knee concern, and is it like a degenerative thing? Do you think this is a little bit of a smoke screen at all, or what, Tony?
I love the kid. I hope he does well. I wouldn't have mentioned it in my write-up about the Jets if I didn't think it was legit. Multiple sources have told me. But again, with medicals, you know, it's not parallel for every team. They look at it through a different lens, and some teams will be fine with it. Some teams may flag them.
How about J.C. Latham from Alabama, the right tackle?
That's an interesting one. He could go as early as Cincinnati to 18. He could go last to the later part of round one. Terrific player, but the concern with him is his size. I mean, his play—he was at the combine. I think he was 343 pounds. His playing weight was closer to 365 pounds. You look at those massive offensive linemen that have come out of Alabama. They've not fared well. They've not really lived up to expectations for the most part.
Jackson Powers Johnson, Oregon. What do you have on him?
Yeah, I think he's going to end up. Miami's not going to take him. They haven't shown a lot of interest. He's probably going to end up bottom half of round one. Possibly to the Detroit Lions, maybe the Dallas Cowboys.
Is there any chance that, because you already mentioned Barton and just answered it on Powers Johnson, is there any chance Zach Frazier lasts until anywhere near the Steelers at 51 in the second round?
I think so. I have actually Zach Frazier going to Tampa Bay with the 57th pick.
Wow.
Because I've got a lot of edge rushers and I got a lot of receivers going in the early part of round one.
How about Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver from LSU? The Steelers have, by some insiders, been linked to him.
In the first round?
Yes.
Yeah.
Peter Schrager put that out there.
I have him going to Baltimore with the 30th pick in round one.
Okay. He's got a labrum issue. Is that right? Allegedly? Or no?
I mean, there have been some red flags medically on him, and the fact is he was really just productive for one season. I like his upside. I think he's going to be a terrific receiver. But again, you know, where is Xavier Worthy going? I'm told that if the Indianapolis Colts can't trade up for Brock Bowers, they could take Xavier Worthy with the 15th pick of the draft, because of his deep speed, which is going to push the rest of the receivers down.
Tony, how about yesterday, Omar Khan, the Steelers GM, said, we're not closing the door on a quarterback. We had another insider on who said, look for them maybe in the middle to late rounds to take a quarterback. Who would be a quarterback in that kind of range who would make sense for this team?
Well, if you're looking middle to late rounds, you're looking at a guy like Joe Milton, Tennessee. He's probably got the biggest arm in this draft. He's got great size. He's incredibly athletic, but a lot of times you don't know where the ball is going to end up. He's got an incredible upside. He needs work from the ground up. He's more of a six-round type of prospect. If they're looking early day two and Spencer Rattler happens to fall on their laps in the fourth round, you have to consider him as well.
Interesting.
Tony, of like the third and fourth round wide receivers, Mike Tomlin talked about Puka Nacua as, hey, you can get guys in the middle rounds that produce immediately. Who do you like a lot in that third and fourth round range that could come in and help the Steelers quickly?
If Roman Wilson from Michigan is there, I think he's an outstanding receiver. He was the only guy that beat Quinton Mitchell at the Senior Bowl on a single play. He also helps as a return specialist. Jalen McMillan out of Washington. Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky, who also doubles as a return specialist. Those are third-round guys. You know, possibly Javon Baker of Central Florida. Brendan Rice of USC in the fourth round.
All right, Tony, we'll end on this. You had to make a prediction on who the Steelers' first-round pick will be. I'm not saying pick 20. I'm saying who the Steelers' first-round pick will be in 2024. Your educated guess right now as things stand.
Graham Barton, the center from Duke. Well, the offensive lineman from Duke. Is he a center? Is he a guard? Is he going to stay a tackle? I think that's part of the appeal for with Graham Barton. Never mind the fact he comes from Duke. He's had a tremendous pro day, and as well as a terrific senior year. The versatility and the fact that he's got the mental acumen to play multiple positions on the offensive line.
All right, there you go. Tony Pauline, @TonyPauline on Twitter. Tony, thanks for coming on with us and breaking
it all
down.
Thanks for having me.